This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. I'm David Fair, and today we're going to get an update on Ann Arbor's Greenbelt program. Since its inception, it has acquired over 5,700 acres of farmland and natural areas surrounding Ann Arbor, and more than $40 million has been spent doing so. The program's not been without controversy at times. Some of that has recently come up as City Council considers new purchases and as it works to update the strategic plan that was last updated in 2013. My guest sits at the center of these conversations. Julie Grand represents the 3rd Ward on Ann Arbor City Council and is the City Council representative on the Greenbelt Advisory Commission. And thank you so much for the time today. I do appreciate it.
It is my pleasure to talk about the Greenbelt, always.
Just to remind folks, if they're wondering, the city gets the money for the Greenbelt program because Ann Arbor voters approved a 30-year millage that the city began levying in 2004. It's set to expire in 2034. Now, Councilwoman Grand, you've been on City Council since 2014. Prior to that, served on the Parks Commission for 6 years. How would you assess the success of the Greenbelt program to this point?
It's a great question. I have had the pleasure of serving both on Parks, as you said, and on the Greenbelt, and participating in the strategic plan. And what it showed to me is that while we do want to make some changes and think critically about how we're going to spend the money over the next 15 years of this program, it did highlight many of our successes. And if we look, for example, at just a map of the Greenbelt, which of course we can't see on the radio,
right.
If we look before and after, it's incredibly dramatic, the difference that this program has made in terms of preserving agricultural land. And one of the main successes of the Greenbelt that I've seen isn't really for today, but if we think about preserving agriculture and those resources for the future, if we think about climate change, if we think about changing land use patterns, whether the land is used in agriculture how we may or may not want to see it today, we're preserving that land for the future so that we'll have these critical resources in terms of both natural areas, but also for our food production, you know, 50, 100 years from now.
Part of the idea is also to create some greater protections around and for the Huron River. Has it been a success in that regard?
I think it has. We definitely have a ways to go, but if we look at our scoring, both for land, both within and outside of the city for land purchases, we do prioritize land that has tributaries, that is adjacent to water. Our purchase just last week, for example, of land within the city, which was also used with parkland preservation, kind of the one-third of the green belt that's used for inside the city, had 350 feet of Traver Creek frontage. So to me, that connects very clearly with stream bank stabilization that we've done at the Leslie Golf Course that this land was adjacent to. So that's just one example of, with a pretty small amount of money, the land, the purchase price was about $150,000. That we're able to protect our water.
So as I mentioned, we're 15 years. We're halfway through this millage levy. In your estimation, have the goals that were promised to voters when this millage was first passed been met to this point?
I think we have. I know there's a lot of confusion about what the program is and what it's not. Without a doubt, outside of the city, if you look at those 1,000-acre blocks, if you look at the amount of matching funds that we've been able to leverage, if you look at the interest and continued interest in the Greenbelt program, I think we definitely have. There was a lot of action early on in lands within the city,
mm-hmm.
and then there has been less so because that money can't be used to maintain that land. It can only be used to purchase it. So we have to be incredibly judicious about the land that we take within the park system. And there was some low-hanging fruit early on. Those properties were snatched up, you know, pretty quick rate. But from now and here on out, we have to be really careful and also think about some big projects that may be coming down the pipeline in terms of the tree line or in terms of securing land for non-motorized connectivity of other sorts. Those are not going to be inexpensive purchases, and so we want to be incredibly judicious, continue to think about how we score those properties so that we're making great decisions and being good stewards of those tax dollars.
And I want to dive a little bit into that decision-making process. First of all, Issues of the Environment continues on 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking about the Ann Arbor Greenbelt Program with City Councilwoman Julie Grant. Earlier this month, Ann Arbor City Council voted to purchase a 114-acre farm north of the city and adjacent to parkland. What was the process in coming to the determination this is an appropriate purchase for the Greenbelt Program?
Well, that one to me is a no-brainer because I think we contributed 16% for 100. So I think it was $186,000 that helped us leverage 114 acres that had, you know, high.
So ecological and economic benefit.
Yes, absolutely. So that was easy. I wish they were all that easy. But we are working on revamping our scoring process in response to things that we've heard in the community from other stakeholders in terms of our strategic plans. We typically, land is presented as a potential purchase to the Greenbelt Advisory Commission. We go into closed session to discuss that land acquisition. We are presented with how the property scored, and then we have a discussion about it where we get input from our staff who are experts in the ecological quality. Is this valuable farmland, showing us what it looks like on our map of, you know, how close is it to other Greenbelt properties? Who are our partners? What kinds of matching funds do we have? So we go through those kinds of conversations and then come to a recommendation that then goes to council for approval.
With that kind of scoring process in mind, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this, City Council also rejected a potential purchase of an 8-acre site that has historic landmark trees, as some call them, some of which predate the Ann Arbor settlement. Had the city decided to make that purchase, it would have halted a planned subdivision development on that property. So what was different about that parcel?
One, I would like to take a step back and say that the process that City Council considered was completely devoid of the process that I just explained to you.
All right.
So for land within the city, the Park Advisory Commission goes through a similar process where they are incredibly judicious using a scoring system and input from staff. That purchase would have been $4.76 million for less than 8 acres, which by my back-of-the-envelope calculations was about $661,000 an acre. Earlier that evening, we purchased something that was about $35,000 an acre. So that clearly went into my decision. Also, about the purpose of the program, the Greenbelt Program is not a within-the-city development prevention program. It is a program meant to preserve high-quality natural areas and help us create better access to our parks.
I think the folks that we heard from here at WEMU were very concerned with the historic trees in specific and thinking that all of those should be saved. But as a council member and member of the Greenbelt Advisory Commission, you have bigger considerations to make. So what was your direct response to them?
That we, you know, as much as I value those trees and believe that we came to a decision that was a compromise that would preserve some of the most important trees on that property, that we have to be good stewards of these tax dollars, and spending almost 80% of our funds just because they happen to be sitting there isn't doing it when you have two enormous parks within a stone's throw of that property.
So once again, the tax millage supports the Greenbelt Program for another 15 years. What are the priorities moving forward from this point, and can we get to where you envision us to be in 2034?
I think we absolutely can. I think the Greenbelt will move forward with their strategic plan for land outside the city. I think we're in a fantastic position to do so. In terms of within the city, my personal goals are to use some of those funds for projects that will make a big impact on our citizens' quality of life now and into the future, such as the tree line or land along the river, expansion of our existing parks, access to non-motorized connectivity, priorities that I think many of us share and that are in line with the values of what I hear from my residents and my constituents.
So I am sure that as you have sat in council chambers, as you have sat with the Parks Commission, as you have sat with the Greenbelt Advisory Commission, you've all kind of talked about what that might look like in 2034. So perhaps you can paint me a word picture. In your mind's eye, what does it look like in 2034?
In 2034, we have more land that's preserved for our natural areas. We have great connectivity between our parks. We have a park system that continues to be the envy of other communities. And we know that we've been responsible to those tax dollars, and potentially something that has been so successful that we want to continue the same program for 30 years after that.
We'll definitely have another issue on the ballot, won't we?
I hope so.
Thank you so much for the time and sharing the information today. I do appreciate it.
It has been a pleasure. Thank you for your interest.
That is Julie Grand. She represents the 3rd Ward on Ann Arbor City Council. She is the City Council representative on the Greenbelt Advisory Commission, and today, our guest for Issues of the Environment. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner and heard each Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.